You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more. And now, the owner and host of the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, Adam Fonseca.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. I am your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook again, at Golf Unfiltered. You can also send me an email, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. Before we get into today's episode with Bill Holowate of Mura Golf to talk about the exciting new CB301 cavity back irons, few quick shout-outs like I like to do every episode to our friends who make the Golf Unfiltered podcast possible. First and foremost, thehackersparadise.com, if you're listening to this on the THP mobile app. Our friends over at Cleveland and Srixon Golf brought your equipment down with me to Arizona when we went and visited the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which was a crazy time. Definitely a bucket list item. Played some extremely good golf, actually. We played 2 days. I had no doubt that I would play extremely well with the equipment I was using. Once again, Cleveland and Srixon Golf, thank you for that. And last but certainly not least, our friends over at budgetgolf.com. Be sure to check out all the great sales they have going on every single day at budgetgolf.com. So Bill Holowate makes his return to the Golf Unfiltered podcast this week. It's been over 100 episodes, and I just find that insane to think about. We talked with Bill about 2 years ago. I had the opportunity to play Mura golf clubs for about 2 years, and over the course of time I slowly realized that, you know what, these bladed irons that I was using just weren't for me. Today, however, we are talking about the CB301 irons, the newest irons from Mura Golf, which I had the opportunity to see and get an up close and personal look at the PGA merchandise show. And CB, of course, stands for cavity back. And what's really interesting about these new irons from Mura is that not only are they more forgiving than probably what I was using before, the MB001s, but also the wide range of playability from skill sets all across the handicap spectrum that the CB301s are at least advertised to hit home with. And so Bill and I talk a lot about the forging process, the world-renowned forging process that, of course, Mura Golf is known for. We also talk a lot about the different benefits that the CB301s can bring to your game. And we also talk a little bit about the budding direct-to-consumer smaller companies that are popping up. And we just talk very briefly about this. And I do appreciate Bill going into this at least a little bit with me, because I know it's kind of a sensitive topic, especially when you're trying to not talk about other brands. And so Bill does a great job, you know, offering his opinion. Certainly appreciate him going down that path with me. And, you know, really, the whole conversation that Bill and I had was exactly that. It was a conversation that was very free-flowing. And so when we come back from the break here, we're just going to pick up the conversation where it felt natural to pick up. You know, I didn't do the normal intro, but Bill is just a wealth of knowledge. He certainly is so passionate about what he does over at Mura Golf. And so I hope you really enjoy this conversation that I have with Bill Holowate of Mura Golf.
Hi, this is Bill Hobson from the Four Golfers Network podcast. And as you and I enjoy this episode of Golf Unfiltered with my friend Adam, I'm reminded of an indisputable reality. We, as golfers, are nuts. We chase a small ball around the planet, spending thousands of dollars in the effort to get that ball into a tiny hole. We then yell at the ball and curse it when it doesn't listen, even though it can't listen, it's a ball. This insanity is all part of the magic of the game, and it's what we celebrate on the Four Golfers Network podcast every Monday when a fresh episode comes your way on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeart, you know, all the places. So after you finish listening to Adam today, I'd love to have you check out the Four Golfers Network podcast, that's F-O-R-E, where we celebrate the game with top name guests and an exploration of the things about golf that both drive us crazy and bring us back for more.
I skate! The ball is just sitting there and I can't hit it.
Mura forging process, Mr. Mura, as you know, Adam, believed that, he felt anyway, that the forging process, or how Golf Coast reports, didn't allow for the for him to manipulate that grain structure within the club head to where it was the densest as possible. And because of that, his quest or his journey to design the perfect golf club his quest for the first to design the perfect golf club really relied on him redefining how a forged club was made, and that was to separate the hosel and the club head during the manufacturing process. Mm-hmm. So being able to do that allowed him to put a precise amount of heat, a precise amount of force into manipulating that grain structure. And as I've used as an example through the years, able to turn that grain structure under magnification into what amounted to a glass jar filled with sand, mm-hmm. compared to other forging processes, which might be the grain structure would look like a glass jar filled with marbles. So you can imagine there's no gap or void between the grains of sand. When the contact with the golf ball happens, the energy transfer is complete. We often hear golfers describe hitting a Mura iron as feeling soft or buttery, mm-hmm. When in fact, Mr. Mura will tell you what they're really describing is solid. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens with the forging process, and that's what you'll find with the CB301, as you will find with all our irons. And I think the thing where I'm most proud of in discussing this is that although Mura over the years might have been most well known for players' clubs, be it a blade model or a player's cavity back model, when we designed the 301, often a question we received recently is, you know, is it different from what I would feel in a blade, or is it different than what I would feel in your MC501? And the answer to that is no, because the forging process is identical. Now, obviously, there are some differences in design which can account for feel and performance. But in terms of the Mura feel, you're going to experience that in the 301 just like you would in our blade models. So mm-hmm. really proud of that fact that you get to experience what the Mura feel and performance is.
And, you know, I've actually played the blade model for a couple of years, the MB 001s, and I felt they were great. And over the course of just, I don't know, not practicing enough, I found that I did not get I just wasn't as good as I once was. And so I needed something a little bit more meatier. And so if I understand you correctly, Bill, you know, the forging process that the Mura family started long ago, when you could use the analogy of the sand versus marbles in glass jars, you know, you really are just going to get that solid feel. And I find that really interesting that you can really feel that same sensation across the full line of clubs. And it sounds like it's no different in the CB301s.
No, you're 100% right. And I think that's, you know, ultimately in the search for the perfect club, that's what Mr. Mura and Shinya Mura and his other son, Yoshitaka Mura, that's what they're all trying to accomplish. And that I think that speaks to, you know, the ability of the factory, of the family, to design a golf club that takes into account the weight that a club head must be, the density of the club head with respect to the cavity back or muscle back in the case of the MB001, and the distribution of that weight around the club head. Mm-hmm. You'll note in the 301 that there's layers, if you will, on the back of the iron in the cavity, and subtly what's been able, what the design has enabled the Mura to do is take some of that weight from where the muscle back would be and, you know, put it into the sole of the club. Hmm. You'll notice that the sole of the 301 is as wide as any model that we have. The perimeter weighting around the club enables a more forgiveness on miss hits, but the ability to put some of that weight from the cavity back down low on the club helps lower the center of gravity, It promotes a higher ball flight, easier to get that ball up in the air. And the design of the lofts and the bounce and leading edge enable this club to perform with better ball on face contact, which is going to deliver the three things that most golfers want. That's higher, straighter, and farther.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I find that, you know, I had the opportunity to go down to the PGA show in Orlando this year, and I got an up close and personal look of the 301s, and they're gorgeous golf clubs, as all of Mira clubs typically are. And a question I have for you, Bill, is when you talk about design, you know, what is the process there in terms of what comes first? Do the folks at Mira and the designers have a look in mind first before they go into the tech, or does the tech kind of define what the end product will look like?
Well, I think that's a great question, and it's, you know, it's almost a chicken or an egg type analogy, because I don't think that, you know, you can necessarily have one without the other. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, the Mira philosophy with respect to any new design on any model that they produce is, in fact, that we're not going to deliver a new model into our product line until it improves on something that's already there. So obviously technology can help with that, and you've seen that in some of our models where we've been able to incorporate new materials into our standard soft carbon forged models. But you also see it when, you know, you find you also will see changes within our line when feedback comes from dealers, from golfers, with respect to this is what we're looking for. We're looking for more yardage. We're looking for greater ball flight. We still want that feel and performance that forged delivers, but I need the help that non-forged clubs are maybe able to deliver a little easily. So from the Mira family point of view, and in this particular club, it's a collaboration between mm-hmm. Shinye Mira and his brother Yoshitaka, and they're first and foremost, they're really tied to the fact that the club has to look good at a dress. So there is a connection between the design and how the club looks. Now, obviously, through the years, we've had that conversation with many who look at a blade iron, for example, and say, oh, I can't hit that. And you'll get another person who, you know, not even necessarily a low handicap player, who will say to you, I love the look of that blade. So, you know, there has to be some middle ground in terms of when you're delivering a specific model to a category, that you keep in mind who your customer is and who will be playing this club. So with respect to the 301, a mid-size head, which frames the ball well, that has to look good for that performance for the golfer to take the next step in terms of realizing what type of performance the club is going to get. Them. We've talked about this internally within our team at Mira, and it applies to you know, many decisions that we make on a daily basis, whether we're buying a car, whether we're buying a house, whether we're, you know, buying a jacket. If you like the looks of it, you're more likely to take the next step and not necessarily compromise
right.
How something looks just for the sake of performance. So I think that's an integral part of it. That being said, the design process, the mirrors are never going to compromise the integrity of their product. And to the point of Mr. Mira many years ago establishing a philosophy within Mira manufacturing, which was, we will build golf clubs to perform first and sell second. And that sort of flies in the face of, you know, common logic with respect to a retail business where you're looking to obviously sell as many golf clubs as you can.
Mm-hmm.
His philosophy is, I want them to perform first. Now, I think it probably you can follow a little bit of a string of logic there that if they do perform, then, you know, golfers will discover, you know, what Muir is and who Muir is. So
sure.
Your question, you know, again, I may have talked around it a little bit, but both components that you spoke of are important. And I think, you know, if I was going to lean one way, the importance and the integrity of the design so that that club performs well would trump the other.
And, you know, what's interesting about clubs these days, and you touched on this a little bit about just performance in general, it seems like performance within, especially irons, follows certain trends of what golfers are looking for, as with most products in any industry. And one of the trends that I'm noticing, and listeners to this show notice, are the length that the irons need to go. And you even mentioned that the CB301s are the longest cavity-back iron that Mira has produced. But when I look at the loft specifications, for example, they're not incredibly strong lofts. And so what I really appreciate about a company like Mira is that it sticks to more of the traditional feel of what golf clubs quote unquote should feel like, and I imagine that that's done on purpose.
Yeah, I think you know, we'd be naive to think that it doesn't impact, you know, every manufacturer in some way, but, you know, to your point, you know, Forge Golf Club in particular, and I think Mura's philosophy in a general sense has always been about delivering these are my words, not Mr. Mura's, but delivering a 138-yard shot to a tucked pin, you know, just over a bunker. You know, we all have the capabilities of hitting that shot, and you know, to execute it, knowing exactly how far the ball will travel with a purely struck shot is, you know, to a large extent what golf is. You know, we all love to hit the big drives, but I think the joy and satisfaction of an iron shot into a green is, you know, simply what we feel the game is all about. So to your point, you know, maintaining a desired ball flight, a launch angle, which allows that ball to go the distance it was intended to go, and then be able to optimize the spin on that ball to stop on the green at the yardage desired, is absolutely an integral part. And there's no doubt that a short iron is an easier iron to hit than a long iron. And sure, I think golf has made a lot of adjustments, you know, in terms of helping us, you know, have more of those shorter shots, you know, based on the loss of the clubs. But to your point, you know, to have more traditional lofts, I think certainly serves us well. It also allows us to blend our Team Mura players to blend models in terms of a set. So we'll see that, you know, maybe a 301 in the long irons. We'll see maybe the 501s in the mid irons, and even the blade iron, the MB001, in the short iron. So yeah, you know, to have consistency in terms of loft between the models also serves us well for combination sets.
It's always great to get your hands on a beautiful new iron or a beautiful new driver and to actually go to a store and try it. And with clubs like, or brands like Mura, you actually have to go to a club fitter. And certainly we are huge proponents of getting fit for your clubs here on the podcast. But I understand that, you know, not everyone can make their way to a club fitter to really experience what they want to experience with a brand. And you touched on this a little bit earlier, Bill, about the development of a new website for Mura. Maybe talk a little bit more about what's going into the design of the new website and how it can benefit people interested in your brand.
Well, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. And our website has recently launched. I think the thing we're most proud of with the website is the fact that we get to tell the Mura story. And we're quite I, as you can imagine, I'm always willing to talk about it, but to be able to have someone discover that there is a Mr. Mura, there is a Mura factory, and a family that essentially has been manufacturing golf clubs, forged golf clubs, for over 50 years now, it's really something. So the fact that in many respects we pick up something like a golf club or forged golf club and maybe not understand that it's handmade, that every club head is unique, that in the mirror process it goes through 14 different steps where it's hands-on the whole way, that each club is hand ground. So there's a very good chance that one of the irons that, or any of the irons that you're playing, if you're playing a Mura club, has been ground by Yoshitaka Mura himself. And anecdotally, I let you know that Mr. Mura still has the number one chair on the grinding line, but Yoshitaka has the number two chair right next to him. And, you know, the odds are that, you know, he's touched your clubs, and I think that's a pretty cool story that we're able to tell. Not too often in manufacturing do you get an intimate look at how a golf club is made and the processes it goes through. So we're really proud about that fact. It's a way and an opportunity for golfers to learn, you know, about the clubs they're playing, or if they're thinking about Mura, what separates us from others in the industry. But the other part that we're two other factors that we're really happy to discuss is, number one, we're able to promote the custom fitting aspect of golf, and with a dealer locator that allows you to find an authorized mirror dealer no matter where you are in the world. Certainly the advance of club fitting is significantly increasing. There's a very good chance that no matter where you are, there is a dealer who's going to be able to match up the proper club head with the right shaft, the grip, the lie angle, and that's going to give you the best chance of having success, you know, once you step onto the golf course. And that's, you know, that's important obviously for Mura, but it's important for, you know, all manufacturers to be able to have guardians of the game, you know, be able to, you know, deliver the opportunity for success. And so being able to promote our dealers online or on our website is absolutely a key part of what we're doing. We also recognize that, you know, not every location or not every golfer is going to have a Mura dealer within his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So we also have the ability for golfers to shop on our online store. And we invested a lot of time and effort into promoting a good experience, an easy experience for someone to go through the Mura shop to choose a club head, a shaft, a grip, enable him or her to enter their specific specifications with respect to lie angle or length of club, choose a grip, and have those clubs delivered right to your door. And that's been a really challenging proposition just based on how personal golf clubs can be. But I think working in concert with our dealers, we have an opportunity to allow golfers to have a look at what Mura has to offer, what options are out there, decide if a premium shaft or an upgraded shaft might be right for them, mm-hmm. and even take that prescription, which they may have walk through on our site, take it to their local Mura dealer and say, yeah, I've decided this is what I want to do, but I'd like to be fit or have you build this for us. So we believe it works in concert with our dealers. And again, to make sure that we have a way to, you know, put Mura in front of golfers, whether or not there's an authorized dealer in their town or not.
And listeners, once again, the website is muragolf.com. And Bill, it sounds like it's really going to change the way that people perceive the brand, and in a positive way, because I know that, at least speaking for myself, prior to having the opportunity to play your products, you know, I always figured that Mura was the premium brand that I would never have the chance to play. And, you know, that that you guys still are a premium brand. And there's one final topic I kind of want to get into with you, Bill, is the onslaught, it almost seems, of the direct-to-consumer brands that are popping up, which are offering cheaper alternatives or less expensive alternatives. What is your stance on that? I know that Mura isn't the most inexpensive brand in the world, but you certainly get the quality, as everything that you just explained, you get the quality for what you pay, but yet there are still these direct-to-consumer brands that are popping up. What is the take on that?
Well, I'll give you, I think, you know, the best way to answer that question is obviously not to talk about others, but to talk about Mura. And certainly that's a lesson I learned from Mr. Mura long ago. He's often asked about work he's done on behalf of other manufacturers, which is a little off topic, I recognize. But he says, I have enough to worry about with respect to how I manufacture our golf clubs. I prefer to, you know, focus my attentions there. So staying with what we do. But to your point, you know, there in recent years, there certainly have been more brands come to the marketplace that have raised the eye level, if you will, of consumers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I think has been, you know, both a challenge and a blessing for everyone in golf. Recognizing that I think for many years, retail pricing on golf clubs didn't necessarily differentiate the premium products from even entry level products.
And, sure.
That's in no way do I mean to talk down to any equipment in the industry, because it all has a purpose and a slot that it's put into. But with respect to Mura, the Mura manufacturing process is, as we mentioned earlier, is different. Mm-hmm. It's a process that doesn't lend itself to mass production, and as such, you know, it is at a premium price. But we don't apologize for it. And as you mentioned, we believe that the attention to detail, the tolerances in the club head weights, for example, all contribute to delivering what is ultimately what we believe is the best forged product on the planet. So I believe that there's you know, certainly an opportunity for all brands out there. We're excited that and hopeful that more and more you know, young people are making their way into golf. We see it on a junior level, that with a website like ours and social media, where we're trying to make a splash as well, that the junior golfer, the college golfer, is very much aware of what's happening in the industry with respect to the quality of products and the performance of products. And, you know, from that standpoint, we see that, you know, Mura, from that standpoint, is not out of reach of any golfer, especially when you consider that the ability to grow with that set of clubs. For example, a junior golfer, you know, gets stronger and needs to have a stronger shaft, for example, a forged head. You're able to pull those original shafts out and put a stronger, longer shaft in there as the golfer grows in that sense. So, you know, it's not an annual purchase. We see golfers that would commit to a set of irons that would be 3, 4, 5 years or more. And for that sense, you with a custom club fitter, your dealer, you know, you're able to continue to get the maximum performance out of those clubs. So to answer your question, you know, we believe that the perception that Mura was you know, not for everybody, has been dispelled. I mean, certainly our website will allow you to see that you're getting value for your money, and we know that it delivers performance.
I think that's perfectly stated, especially the point that you raised, Bill, about growing with a set of clubs. And I'm glad that you went there because that is so true, especially during a time. And I know, and I fully appreciate your take on keeping it centered on Mira. But I'll even go so far as to say that, you know, in a time when customers have a ton of different options to choose from, especially every single year from other companies, it's wonderful to know that a company like Mura can grow along with the golfer using the same world-renowned forging technology that you guys certainly have perfected over the years. And so I do appreciate your thoughts on that topic. Once again, folks, this is Mr. Bill Hallawaddy of Mura Golf. Bill, thank you so much for taking some time today. And listeners, go out and try the CB301s. I think you're really going to enjoy what you see. And Bill, I hope we can do this again in the near future.
Well, Adam, let's not make it as many years between the last one. Would love to come back at any time, whether or not we talk golf or talk sports or anything but politics. I'll be there for you.
Amen on that, sir. You have a good rest of your evening, and thanks again.
Okay, thanks, Adam.
Take care. Bye-bye.